Tonight we continue our studies in Jonah, and our theme has remained the same throughout these 4 weeks: the city God wanted to save. And tonight we conclude our short study in Jonah. After Jonah's exploits with his disobedience, he finally reached Nineveh, and there he preached the word that God had commanded him to speak. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And as we saw last time, all 120,000 inhabitants of Nineveh repent of their sins and turn on to the Lord God of heaven. And because of this, the Lord repented of the evil which he was going to do unto Nineveh. He turns his fierce anger away from them. They have received the grace of God in their lives. Jonah has done his job in preaching. And you would think that Jonah would be on top of the world. 120,000 converts in one place in such a small space of time. But then look what he says in verse 1 of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. The first thing we want to see from our studies tonight is his lack of love for Nineveh. Jonah's lack of love for Nineveh. See, here in these opening verses of chapter 4, we have confirmation, if we needed it, of why Jonah fled before the Lord onto Tarshish. He didn't like the Ninevites. Why was this? Because they weren't Jews. Jonah begrudged these Ninevites the mercy and the grace they had found. These heathen Gentiles had from the king down sat in sackcloth and ashes and were truly sorry for their sin. We might well ask the question, what's wrong with Jonah? Why is he in such a state? Well, the answer is really simply hatred and pride. And pride in particular, our pride makes us do and say a lot of silly things. You see, Jonah loved his country. He loved Israel. In Israel, Jonah would have been well respected. But with that said, he also knew that his own countrymen were obstinate people. They had turned away from God. And Jonah was very eager to see them return to God, but they wouldn't. And as he looks at the Ninevites, he sees that God has turned away from his own chosen people, the Jewish nation, and has poured out his grace upon the Gentiles of Nineveh. He should be happy. He should be happy for the Ninevites. But his pride won't let him be happy for them. And when pride gets the better of us, what does it do to us? It makes us angry. Whenever our pride builds up within us, it makes us angry. And when we get angry, we think only of ourselves. Poor me. Whenever pride rises up within us, we always say within our hearts, poor me. And this is what Jonah is doing here. Poor me. You see, Jonah may have been thinking to himself also that after Nineveh, I have to return to my own country. I have to go back to my Jewish nation again. And surely in my own nation, there's going to be questions asked about my prophecy. You remember Jonah's prophecy of Nineveh. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And someone's going to come along to Jonah and say, you got that wrong, Jonah. The Lord didn't overthrow Nineveh, but rather he saved the whole city. Someone's going to say, Jonah, are you a false prophet? And these are the things that Jonah's thinking of within his head. Poor me. Whenever I go back to my own land, they're going to give me a hard time because this prophecy didn't come true. And this is what pride does to man. When it rises up within us, we come to the wrong conclusions. The Lord was looking after Jonah. We've seen that with the great fish. He put Jonah through that terrifying experience, but yet no harm had come to Jonah. And really, Jonah, when he returned to his own land, he had no need to fear God at all. The Lord would have looked after Jonah there as he did in the land of Nineveh. So pride has got the better of Jonah. The second thing we want to see this evening is an unreasonable complaint. An unreasonable complaint. Jonah's angry. His spirit is hot within him. And because of this, he speaks now unadvisedly to God in prayer. Verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. This prayer Jonah makes to God is not the same kind of prayer he made to God out of the fish's belly. In the fish's belly, Jonah was being afflicted. He was in a strait. He was in a position he couldn't get out of himself. And so his prayer on that occasion was what you would call a submissive prayer. He gave in to God's request to go back and preach in Nineveh. But now this prayer, this second prayer he makes, is not submissive. It's more a prayer of, now you listen to me, God. That's the kind of prayer that this is. It's a prayer of, you listen to me. Now in this prayer, Jonah certainly gets a few things very much right. Verse 2, thou art a gracious God. Well, that's good. He's merciful, and that's good. He's slow to anger and of great kindness, and that's good. These things Jonah got right. But then look what he says, and repentest thee of the evil. It's as if he's saying here to the Lord, are you for real, Lord? Are you for real saving this 120,000 sinful Ninevites, these Gentiles? Now, there's many a preacher who would turn from his work because he feels so inadequate that he's not up to the job. He doesn't really feel up to the job. None. No preacher does. But Jonah says to the Lord, why did you pour out your grace upon these people? Why have you changed your mind? That's what Jonah's really saying. Why have you changed your mind? My message was that Nineveh would be destroyed in 40 days. Now you've changed your mind. And he says to God, this is what I told you. Jonah says, I didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. And because this is the very reason that you might pour out your grace upon them. And this is Jonah's unreasonable complaint. He just simply didn't want to see his gracious God, his merciful God, his slow to anger God, his God of great kindness made known to the Ninevites. He just didn't want it. Not even from the fish's belly could Jonah be rid of these thoughts against these people. You would really have thought that whenever Jonah was swallowed by that great whale, that Jonah would have behaved himself forevermore. You really would think that, wouldn't you? But not even from the fish's belly could Jonah get rid of these thoughts against Nineveh. Now, Jonah repented of his sin that he had committed against God. That, don't think he didn't from the fish's belly. He did. He was asked to go to Nineveh, but he didn't. And from the fish's belly, he agreed to go and do God's will. But he still had these thoughts within his heart against the people of Nineveh. You see, it's very, very hard to get bitterness out of our minds, isn't it? In our own land, here in Northern Ireland, there's been so much hurt, so much distrust, bitterness, and that bitterness still exists. The cultures here in our own land have this bitterness within them. And it was the same with Jonah. See, with this bitterness in Jonah's mind, he would rather have seen fire and brimstone come down from heaven and devour the city than rather have it spurred by his gracious God. Now, if you find this all a bit hard to take in, well then, I don't blame you. Because it's so hard to try and understand why this man hatred for such a city as that. He didn't like these people. And it is hard for us to take in. But God is working upon him, as we will see. He's working in Jonah's heart. And in verse 3, if his bitterness isn't bad enough already, it gets worse. In verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah here in verse 3 asks the Lord to take his life. Such is his passion of bitterness against these people that he would rather die now than see this city saved. Take my life from me. I don't want to see this. If Nineveh must live, let me die. You see, he didn't want to see the God of Israel transfer his grace to these Gentiles. And he says, Lord, take my life from me. I simply cannot stand to see the salvation of this city. Things are getting worse. In Jonah's mind and heart, things are getting worse. How absurd a thing it was for Jonah to ask for death to come upon him. It was an absurd request. The Lord was blessing Jonah. Do you think the people of Nineveh hated Jonah? Or did they love him? Did they respect Jonah? Well, I do believe they give at least respect unto Jonah. And they give that respect and honour as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's due. They've heard the word of the living God through Jonah. And God watered that word and it brought forth a great harvest of souls. And here's Jonah saying, Lord, take my life from me. How would you like to be before the Lord's judgment seat? The judgment seat of Almighty God, seconds before you've had a quarrel with him. Would you like to do it? This is what Jonah's asking for. Lord, I've just had a quarrel with you, but I want to die. Take my life away from me. Well, he's going to be standing straight in front of the Lord if the Lord struck him down dead. And he's just had a quarrel with him. How would you feel? Can you see how unreasonable, how silly Jonah is being here? On this really, really silly and unreasonable request that he made before the Lord. Third thing we want to see this evening is slow to anger. Slow to anger, verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Or we could maybe put it this way. Do you repent of your good deeds? This is what the Lord's saying now to Jonah. He's now, the Lord is beginning to push and to prod at Jonah to put him back onto the right road once again. This is what's beginning to happen here in verse 4. If you like, we have here God reasoning with Jonah. Doest thou well to be angry? Jonah here, as we see, he knows that God is already a good and gracious God and slow to anger. And now God speaks very gently and very softly to Jonah. And he says this to make Jonah think. God's saying to Jonah, are you really sad and angry of the good deeds that have been done? That's what he's saying to Jonah. Doest thou well to be angry, Jonah? He says, are you angry at the good deeds that have been done in Nineveh? You see, here God is turning Jonah away from his silly wrath. And he does it tenderly. And he's doing it lovingly. And it hasn't just worked yet, as we'll see. And God says to Jonah in this tenderly loving way, Jonah, what good does it do you to be angry at the mercy of God to repenting sinners? This is what God is saying to Jonah. Well, doest thou well to be angry? Are you angry at the mercy of God to repentant sinners? Have you ever known some of the biggest rascal in your lives and suddenly God has saved them? And you can't understand how the Lord has reached down and lifted that man up out of the miry clay and set his feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. Well, if you're struggling in that case to think like that way, you're a little bit like Jonah. Because he's struggling in his heart to understand why the God of heaven and the God of the Jewish nation would bow to stoop so low as to save this nation. That's what Jonah has in his heart. But God speaks to Jonah in loving kindness, but he doesn't miss the mark. When God's correcting you or me, believe you me, he won't miss the mark. And he hasn't missed the mark here with Jonah. Let's think of heaven for a moment. 120,000 sinners have repented in Nineveh. What's happening in heaven? What's happening in heaven? Yes, the angels. They're giving praise unto God for his grace and his mercy to Nineveh. And here's Jonah, being angry at God's grace, the very same grace which he had poured out upon him. So God is gently trying to turn Jonah around, but it hasn't just yet sunk in into Jonah's heart. Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah now leaves the city and he makes himself a nice seat and he watches the city to see if God is going to bring at least any judgment upon it. The 40 days, 6 weeks, has expired, and Jonah probably left the city in case, as he would have thought, that he might be caught up in the destroying of the city. You see, he was at the very least hoping that God would at least destroy something of the city which would make his prophecy come true. So Jonah now sits in the seat, and really all he's doing here in this seat is making himself miserable, making his life harder for himself, because in the city I'm sure he would have had a nice bed and a roof over his head. But outside the city, he's out in the elements. It gets cold at night, and it gets extremely hot during the day. And now, once again, Jonah's God, who is slow to anger and gentle and of great kindness, once again looks after his servant, his wayward servant. The heat, the sun is so high, Jonah was uncomfortable. And the Lord saw this. So God, as he had prepared a great fish to save Jonah, now prepares once again a gourd to save Jonah's from the sun. A gourd is a plant with great big broad leaves upon it. And it may well be a fast growing plant, but the plant grew, as it were, here in this case, overnight. So this was of God's doing. This plant came up with his great big broad leaves high enough to shelter Jonah sitting in his seat from the sun and from the heat of the day. And if we read the last line of verse 6, it says, Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. He was exceedingly glad of this great big plant with its broad leaves to cover his head from the sun and probably also protected him at night from the cold. So once again we see this tender, loving God of ours, how he is dealing with Jonah here. He's tenderly again pushing Jonah to see the error of his thoughts and his ways. But he won't let his servant suffer any more than he can bear. So this gourd, this plant with its broad leaves, sprung up overnight. And then we're told that it perished in a night. And Jonah was once again angry. Once again, we find that Jonah is angry at God once again. It's as if he's saying, the poor gourd, Lord, this poor plant, it didn't need to die. As God had prepared it to grow up in the night, also he prepared a worm to eat, and it withered in the night. So God raised it up, and God brought it down. Then the Lord speaks to Jonah in verse 9 again, using the same words that he did in verse 6. Doest thou well to be angry with the gourd, Jonah. Jonah's still angry. Let's read from verse 9 to the end. And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not laboured, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" The gourd grew in a night. It perished in a night. Well, that was the end of the gourd. It was raised up by God. It was brought down by God. End of. No soul. It died. No soul for the plant. Do you see what God is teaching Jonah here? You've had pity on a plant, Jonah, that I raised up to cover your head from the sun, and you're angry now because I let it die. But you, Jonah, you have no pity on 120,000 lost souls in Nineveh. You'd rather see them perish who have souls. And you're angry that I saved this great city of Nineveh, and I've saved 120,000 souls from going to hell, and you're angry. You notice that's where it leaves it. We're not told how Jonah took this. God's word ends. But I think that we can well have good reason to believe that Jonah caught on eventually. And especially after God showing him this last thing about the gourd, about the plant. If that didn't work, well then really what was going to work in Jonah's heart? This was God's way of bringing his servant to his senses. And he has gone to great lengths to convince Jonah that it was very, very fitting that Nineveh should be saved. It was very fitting. The city God wanted to save, his servant ran away from God's request. And God brought him back, and we know how he did it. Those sailors, he was in control of them. He was in control of the ship. He was in control of the weather. He was in control of the storm. When those sailors picked up Jonah, he was in control of Jonah then. When Jonah's were in the waters, he brought a great fish alongside of the boat to swallow Jonah. And there Jonah was able to live in a fish's belly, a whale's belly, for 3 days and 3 nights. And the Lord had him come back to do the job that he had sent him to do. So Jonah did obey the Lord. He went to Nineveh. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown was his cry. We know that Nineveh was a great city. 8 miles wide, 20 miles long, 60 miles around. It took 3 days for a man to walk through all the little streets and alleyways and main streets. And that was Jonah's cry. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And God had the king of Nineveh, from the king down, to sit in sackcloth and ashes. And the king sent out his nobles into the streets to tell all the people to repent of their sins. And they did it. And Jonah, he just couldn't handle it anymore. And he gets angry with the Lord. And then the Lord uses these things. Doest thou well to be angry? And he uses a plant. Isn't it wonderful how God can use things? First he used a fish of the sea to save Jonah. Then he used a plant, we could say, to save Jonah from the sun. And then to prove how it was well worth saving these 120,000 people, he has a plant die. And he uses it to show Jonah his mistakes. If you're making mistakes in your life, I can assure you this, if you are truly God's children, God will reprove you of them. And you might be surprised what he uses and how he does it to correct you and to put you on the right path of life once again. And may God do it to you and to me if we stray from that path. Amen.